السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، today is actually one of my favorite methods of teaching. I'm so comfortable explaining this, I don't need my notes. Before I explain what it is, in my humble opinion, in today's time, especially when dealing with the youth, this is the absolute most effective way in teaching them. I do not think there is a method that is more effective than this. But there is one thing that I need to mention about this method, is that it has its own pitfalls as well. Is that when we rely too much on it, then it can lead one to turn away from deen as well, or at least following certain matters of deen. Before I mention that, I also just, this is a cliffhanger, I'm leaving you there. Before I say what it is, I want to remind everyone, it's the second Jummah already. You know, subhanAllah, we started fasting, one Jummah came, and we thought to ourselves, we're still fresh. Now we're at the second Jummah. And we have either four Jummahs, rarely we have five Jummahs in the month of Ramadan. So we're already half of the Jummahs there. So, as I said last week, I don't want to remind everyone every single time, but it is a way to tell myself before anyone to read as much salawat as you can on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this day. Like I said last time, when do you find the opportunity? Between the raka'ahs of Taraweeh, as you're getting up, you do not have to say it loudly, you can say it silently, you can say it in your heart, as you're going to your car, as you're going home, just recite as much sallallahu alaihi wasallam as you can. Or you can say, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa ahlu. This specific durood has a great virtue that an angel for 70 years, or kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, tires himself out making dua for the person who says this. So, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, I know I mentioned it last week, I won't mention the fada'il this week, but as a reminder for everyone. Now the subject today that I want to pick, the method in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach someone. And I'll give you the story for us to understand the method. On one occasion, a youngster came into the Masjid al-Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understand the scenario. The scenario may be like something like this, where maybe I'm giving a lecture and somebody comes in and he asks this question. So just imagine this scenario, but with Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in and our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting there. A youngster comes into the masjid and he says, "Oh Rasulullah, give me permission to commit adultery." He did not ask for something small. He did not ask for something that maybe some leniency can be given. He asked a very serious issue, a serious thing in front of everybody. So the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, when they hear him say this, they're like, "Shh, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you asking such a question?" Now that was their way of teaching. That's also a way of teaching too. I'm not saying it's always effective, but that's what some people do, right? I say uncles, mashallah, I'm not calling anybody, but in Ramadan I've seen so many times in different masajid, never here, alhamdulillah, but so many masajid, Ramadan time, you have kids who come to the masjid, they don't come throughout the year. They come to the masjid and they're constantly being scolded by the uncles. "Oh, what are you doing? Pray Taraweeh like this." You know, I'll tell you something. When I'm leading, I know the youngsters that are praying. And don't think I don't know you're doing this, by the way. It doesn't help that you make a lot of noise when you do it. So when I lead, or maybe when Hafiz Saab leads and you know, okay, he's going to read a long first rakah, maybe they do it with everybody. I don't pay attention. But when I start leading, they're doing something else. As soon as I start transitioning into ending my rakah, I say Allahu Akbar, going into the first rakah. They don't want to miss the first rakah. You know, I sat there and said to myself, I said, maybe I can tell them. I said, but you know, O Fazan, there was a time you did that too. And look, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired you and you're leading now and you go for all 20. I can't remember the last time I missed. You know, so I say to myself, you know, you never know. Don't want to say something to them, might turn them away. But sometimes, unfortunately, you find in masajid, you find people scolding them, getting on their case. Look, subhanAllah, they're here, man. So many youngsters are not even in the masjid. So many youngsters come for iftar and then go home and they don't even pray salatul taraweeh. At least they're here. So that's a little side thing. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they rebuked this person. They were so upset with this person. What's wrong with you? Why are you asking such a thing? Our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring him closer. Now note something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how compassionate he was with him. Because I always say, when somebody asks you a question, understand sometimes, they, especially if they're asking something so grave as this, there's a problem in their understanding. So you need to look at them like a sick person. You need to bring them closer, be compassionate to them. Don't sit there and try to scream at them and say, Quran says this, Hadith says this, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that. And our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that either. He called him, he said, come closer. He said, would you like it that somebody commit adultery with your mother? He said, no, ya Rasulullah, I would not like that. May I be ransomed for you. This is the Arab way of speaking, you know? And he repeats this statement every single time. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all he says to him, would you prefer your mother, somebody commit adultery with your mother? Absolutely not. Okay. He says, people don't want you to commit adultery with their mother either. Would you prefer somebody commit adultery with your daughter? No, absolutely not. May I be ransomed for your sake? He said, people don't like it if you commit adultery with their daughter. Would you prefer somebody commit adultery with your sister? He says, no, absolutely not. And the trend continues, the same thing. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, neither do other people. Would you prefer that somebody commits adultery with your paternal aunt? No. Would you prefer somebody commits adultery with your maternal aunt? No. He says, no one else does either. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on his chest and he said, Oh Allah, forgive him for this sin. And purify him and clean his private part. Meaning, his private part leading him to doing something wrong. وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That's the gist of the dua. I'm kind of forgetting a little bit. But the point is, what I'm trying to hear, that's number one, that's the mas'ala. What is the idea that I'm trying to establish here? Most of the times, especially the youth of today, when you want to explain something to them, you can't just sit here and say, it's in fulan hadith, it's in fulan kitab, and it's in this ayah, it's in that ayah. Yeah, some people are still, there are people that are like that. That's a person who's cleansed their heart and has brought certainty in their faith. Now when you give them a hadith and a dalil from Quran, sami'na wa ata'na. But not everyone is capable of that. So for other people, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached them was trying to give them a rational understanding. Note in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention a single ayah and not a single narration of his of the past in regards to zina. Not a single one. So oftentimes when you have youngsters and they want to understand something, understand Islam, you have to approach them in a rational route. And then it's a lot easier for them to absorb. And that is a victim of our own society. That's the way the society works nowadays, right? But one thing I do want to establish. Although this is allowed in Sharia, it is not the recommended method always to adopt in explaining. And I'll explain why. I oftentimes, whenever I explain something, I always choose this route. It's my favorite route. I think it is the most effective. However, I always establish something at the end of it. Do not make it such that the basis of your deen is when you understand it rationally. Islam is rational, but you're irrational. Islam is rational, but you're irrational. Meaning your logic, your mentality, your thought process has been manipulated, has been changed based on your environment. So when somebody explains something to you from a rational standpoint, most of the time when you get it, you're like, I like it, I follow it. Then did you follow Islam or did you follow the rational argument? You follow the rational argument. You can do it, but it leads to something. Now when you find something you don't understand, and say somebody, you come to me and I try my best to explain it to you rationally, we're taking dala'il to the side, and you sit there and say, I get it, but it just doesn't settle with me. Then what are you going to do? You're not going to follow it. That's also a problem. This deen is not only to be followed when you like what it says. Everybody understand what I'm saying? It's not to be followed only when you like what it says. It's supposed to be followed at all times. So although it is beneficial in trying to understand a rational understanding, it can also be a dangerous pitfall that can take you right outside the fold of Islam too. Because the moment someone explains something to you that you don't like rationally, it'll just turn you away. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such a thing. But as noted in this hadith, it is a way in which how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached in explaining a masala of Sharia. So likewise, when it comes to our own children, when they ask you about Allah, when they ask you about Salah, why do we pray? Let me tell you something. If you keep telling your child, and I know I'm going off, you tell your child, you pray because you know we're supposed to as a Muslim. I can't promise you anything, but I can tell you with a lot of experience, it won't last long. You don't tell a child you pray just because you have to pray. What do you tell your child why they have to pray? You tell me. What do we tell our child? What do we tell a young child? What do we tell all these people that go out into the, they see all these non-Muslims, they don't pray, they eat during Ramadan, they do all this. What do you tell them? Because Allah said so? Okay, do it. But remember to instill that kind of iman in them when they're little kids. When they're babies, when they're infants, really, really? Instill that iman in them. Then I promise you this will work. But you know what happens oftentimes? We don't think about Islam when they're children. We don't think about their iman when they're children. We just say, oh, they're kids. What difference does it make? They pray, they don't pray. So when they get a little older, 6, 7, and the Prophet ﷺ says, tell them to pray salah, you tell them, pray salah. Why am I praying salah? Because Allah told me to tell you to pray salah. That's not good enough reason for me. So what do we tell our children? Something to think about, isn't it? Think about it, inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.